Our scripture this morning comes from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 21 through 27. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Imagine, if you will, the devastation after the horrific fires in California in recent weeks. The fires that have consumed vast swaths of land, destroyed homes, and claimed lives. And then imagine that such devastation does not last forever. That the earth recovers its fertility after a fire. That new lives emerge and begin to dwell in the land. The prophet Joel is speaking a profound word of comfort to people. And it's a good thing that he's doing that. He's speaking both to ancient Israel, and he's also speaking to us, because they had also experienced the ravages of fire, of plagues of locusts, and times of great famine. So after the lament and the prayers of the priests, the people must have been relieved to hear this prophecy that proclaimed restoration and abundance. I find it amazing that God's planet provides such abundance and such resilience. And if we want that to continue, we'd better be better stewards of creation, including some fast, dramatic action on the human causes of climate change. And we also need to tend to the issues of overpopulation. But that is a sermon for another day. Today, we're here with Joel's prophecy of abundance. You know, virtually all of us here have been the recipients of some kind of abundance. And some of us also have known what it is like to go to bed hungry because our families have not had enough food to put on the table. Thankfully, that isn't the case for most of us today. The abundance of food is really clear in Joel's prophecy. Do not fear, O soil. There's that refrain again. Do not fear. How often do you hear that in the Bible? All the time. Do not fear, you soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the fields, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine give their full yield. The threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. You know, earlier this week, I was reading the Washington Post, and I read a story that might help you get a sense of God's abundance in your life. Now, I know that typically when you read the Washington Post, you're not reading good news about God's abundance, but hey, it happened this week, so let's celebrate it. The article was by a personal finance columnist, and she wrote that if you have $4,210 in net assets, so in other words, your home, your car, your cash, your retirement, and so on, minus your indebtedness. If you have $4,210 in net assets, you are in the wealthiest 50% of the world's population. To be in the top 10% of the world's population, you need net assets of $93,170. And to be at the very pinnacle of the world's wealthiest people, it would mean that you have net assets of $871,320. Now, I never really thought that we had a lot of one percenters in the congregation here at Plymouth, but if you've looked at real estate values in Fort Collins lately, we just might. So I wonder if you are someone in that upper half of the world's wealthiest people, that top 50%, if you are the recipient of God's plenty. And I wonder, do you feel a sense of abundance? Do you feel a sense of being wealthy? On this week when most of us will find ourselves at a table with more than enough food, even though it is a really bad week for turkeys, do you feel a sense of abundance in your own life? You know, as Americans, we get bombarded by messages that we're inadequate, that we don't quite measure up, and they always have a great solution for us. And it usually involves antiperspirant or toothpaste that's going to make our teeth even whiter, or it's going to be the latest pharmaceutical. Ask your doctor if Lunextra is right for you. Possible side effects include, well, you know the spiel. Nobody is selling goods and services that tell you that you are an amazing person, that you are loved by God, and there's nothing you can do about it, that you are created in the image and likeness of God, who has graced this planet with enough for everyone. If only we knew how to share better. Okay, that's not going to sell toothpaste, but it's the truth. Like most of you, I suspect that there are moments when you and I both spend time, maybe even more time, being stressed out about finances. For me, it's saving for college and paying child support and paying the mortgage and paying my pledge and medical copays. There are sometimes more those moments than there are moments when I pause and say, God, I am grateful for the abundance in my life, for faith, for family, for friends, for community. Do you know how many people hunger for what we have here? And for never wondering if I have enough money to buy groceries. I know that I'm fortunate. So think for a moment about the abundance in your life. Think about the abundance of relationships, the abundance of shelter, the abundance of food, the abundance of church community, the abundance of faith, the abundance of God's creation, the abundance of love. Take a few deep breaths and just really intentionally focus on that for just a moment. Wow. What will you do with all of the abundance that God has entrusted to you? This is good news, folks. I think most of us know that we should attend to our basic needs, food and shelter and health care and legal obligations and to other important things like education. And that abundance gives us some amazing privileges in terms of what we do with it, because most of us have something beyond our basic needs. In religions across the world and throughout the ages, as Jane Ann, you know, shared earlier, harvest time is associated with sharing abundance. You know, in ancient Greece, there was an offering called the abarche, which was the offering that comprised the very first fruits, the first produce that was collected from the field, and it was brought to sacrifice at the temple. And that was priority number one, because that meant ensuring a good future harvest. In ancient Israel, certain produce was specified. There were actually only seven different kinds of produce that were okay for first fruits offerings. And I will tell you why. Grapes in the form of wine. Figs, pomegranates, dates, wheat, barley, and olives in the form of olive oil, probably extra virgin. These are brought to the temple in Jerusalem as part of a ceremony called the Bikurim, the ceremony of the first fruits. One of the really interesting things is harvest home. You know, we sang about that in the first hymn. It's actually an English pagan festival at the end of the harvest. How the heck did it get into an English hymn, you know? And in the Harvest Home Festival, the last sheaves of grain are brought, and they're shaped into a doll representing the crone, the wise woman, the kaliach. And the doll is soaked in water to ensure good rainfall, and then it's kept throughout the winter and buried in the soil in the spring to ensure a good harvest while planting next year's grain. In Japan, they have a festival called Tsukimi, and it's also a harvest celebration, but they don't just make a little doll. They make a big life-size, or probably bigger than life-size, scarecrow with something like pampas grass. And they make offerings of rice dumplings, taro, edamame, chestnuts, and sake to ensure a good harvest next year. And of course, we have Thanksgiving. You know, it's been almost 400 years since that first Thanksgiving in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And guess what, folks? Our name is not Plymouth because it's an accident. We have a very big anniversary in 2 years. Count them. It's going to be great. Our Puritan forebears did not observe religious festivals that weren't mentioned in the Bible because they thought they were too Catholic. Just little things like Christmas and Easter. So those Christmas and Easter were out. Days of fasting and prayer were in. And so was Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was a religious observance of gratitude for God's abundance. And even so, the Puritans acknowledged God's abundance with a feast. So how will you acknowledge the abundance around you? How will you say thanks? How will you make a difference? How will you work at redistributing some of the wealth that God has entrusted to you? You know, I love our alternative giving fair, and this is not just like a shameless Commerce Division plug for the alternative giving fair, but I'm going to do it anyway. I love the alternative giving fair because whether you're buying a water buffalo through the Heifer Project or you're supporting the Lango Kindergarten that Bob and Nancy Sturdivant started in Ethiopia, or if you're buying a blanket through Church World Service, you're using some of your abundance to make a difference in somebody else's life. I think that's the main reason I've always found that kind of gift giving to be a real joy. And the people who receive those gifts think they're great too. And I get to tick off a few boxes. Yes, I did do Christmas shopping before Thanksgiving. I got that done. did not have to go to the mall, did not have to order something else from Amazon. Life is good. One of the things when I was a kid that my mom used to do was to write a special prayer for Thanksgiving, and it happened for many years until she wrote one that stuck. And it became sort of our all-purpose family pre-meal blessing. And we still say it every now and again in our family. And I leave you with it this morning, with the hope and the expectation of abundance in your life. For love and friends, for home and health, we are most thankful for this wealth. Teach us, Lord, to be kind to all and to appreciate thy bountiful blessings. Amen.